And welcome to the Tuesday edition. Actually, it's the final day of training camp edition of the Steelers Depot training camp daily wrap-up. And today I have back with me Will Graves, the AP sports writer for Pittsburgh, joining us again. Will, thanks for taking the time.
No problem, man. Happy to do it.
Glad to have you on again. And let's get right to it today. Today's the final day of training camp for the Steelers. They break camp tomorrow. And a couple of things I think that got clarified today was yesterday, I believe they had the John Clay incident where it looked like he might be walking off the field to quit. And that ended up being untrue, that he was just misunderstanding with what the coaches wanted to do to get off the field. He took it literally. Have you heard anything about that yourself today?
No, I mean, I think you're right. I think it was a misunderstanding. I think John is frustrated, I'm sure, as a guy who was as competitive as he was at, and successful as he was at Wisconsin, to come in, and he's really fighting for that last, you know, running back spot, if it even exists. And I think even in his heart of hearts, he knows that he's probably on the outside looking in. While he's frustrated by that, I can't believe that he would, you know, up and quit. I think that if you do that, you're sending a message to other teams that might be looking at you that, you know, you don't want them to hear. So I can't imagine that. I did not speak to him today, but I've spoken to him several times during this camp, and he doesn't strike me as a quitter.
Okay, well, that's good news. And like you said, you kind of wonder if there might be, you know, a spin job or something in there, but I doubt there is. I think it was an honest mistake, and, you know, Kirby Wilson just told him to get off the field, and he took it literally, and that's what happened. So it's good that we got that cleared up. Some news that came across earlier from one of the Virginia papers was that Macho Harris had signed with the Steelers today, but evidently that's being refuted by Mark Cabali of the Tribune Review, saying that only Macho Harris is being brought in from a workout. Have you pretty much heard that same thing?
Yeah, same thing. I mean, there's nothing official yet, and, you know, kind of remains to be seen. You know, I think, you know, when you're trying to evaluate 90 guys in a short amount of time, you know, I think that you're going to look at a lot of options, and, you know, maybe they're not, you know, maybe they don't feel comfortable with that position, and they need some depth there. But it's just, you know, who knows this. I think even Mike, you know, Tomlin admitted this morning that he, you know, there's lots of permutations with this roster that, you know, still have yet to take shape. So.
Yeah, I agree. And I think maybe this, even if they do end up signing him, I think this could possibly be just because Ike Taylor might be missing some time here due to surgery on that thumb today. Even if Harris is signed, I don't foresee him making the roster at all. I mean, this guy has tried to make the move to safety, been with the Eagles and the Redskins, and I personally just don't see him sticking. So I'm glad we got that sorted out. We'll see if maybe a signing takes place over the next few days here. Let's talk a little bit about what you saw on the practice field today in the Steelers, final open to the media, open to the public type practice today. Anything stick out today?
Well, you know, they did a lot of two-minute work. They had two or three series there. They had some more. They had some third down, some third down drills. They did some 11-on-11 stuff. You know, because you grilled me last time, I tried to do a better job of of keeping track of everything. I took a little bit better notes so I didn't sound like an idiot. You know, some of the things I noticed, you know, and I tweeted a couple of things. Tyler Grisham, you can tell that Mike is, I mean, he's going to get a good, long, hard look to be that fifth or I guess sixth now, because you have to assume that the Kotcher is going to run to that top five. That sixth wide receiver, and, you know, he played very well in one of the two-minute drills. He had two or three receptions, including a touchdown off of just a bullet from Leftwich that was low, and he just went off the ground and scooped it. Very difficult catch. And you could hear Tomlin 50 yards away say, "I see you, 19, I see you." So obviously Mike is paying attention. The other thing I was really impressed with today was Curtis Brown. You know, he's obviously been sidelined with a groin injury, but they're so depleted, you know, the secondary at the moment with Ike being hurt and this, you know, Troy being limited and that kind of stuff. They're not that, you know, fired up about Keenan Lewis, I think. I mean, I think they want to see him get out there and make some plays, and he made a couple. including there was like an overthrow in the back end zone, and he tried to get his feet down and grab the ball, didn't quite do it, and took kind of a hard landing. He told me afterwards that he thought his the groin that he's been dealing with sort of tweaked it a little bit, but then the next series he was out there and he deflected another pass. So I think that's a guy who's got a lot of skill, a lot of speed, and I think that he's eager to fit in. He definitely impressed me today. The other thing, Aaron Smith didn't practice today. He's actually still a little bit slow. And for all this talk about Tony Hills, and Mike talked about it today, getting some time. Hills was with the second unit. Legurski was in at guard, with Chemo at the other guard. So, for all that talk, and Mike was very complimentary of Tony, impressed with the way that Tony's practiced, and he seemed to say this morning that he anticipated that Tony would be with the first team because Chemo is not going to play on Friday. But still, if he's not practicing with the first team, then he's not on the first team.
Yeah, that's
so those are things that kind of stuck out to me.
Yeah, that's a good point. Even though, I think that Hills will start, I think this is just to prove a point that, this is his last shot to make the roster. And he did say the other day Hills would start, and it sounds like Legurski will play the left guard spot, as you said, because Kimo Atto is going to be sitting out there. But this has got to be it for Hills, because I did not even have him on, I haven't had him on my 53 roster cut for a while, and he's really going to have to show something against a good, front of the Eagles on Thursday night to really have a chance. At that spot. So that's good to know. And really, nobody's really said much about Hills all training camp until this last little bit, until he showed up in the game against the Redskins last week playing at both left tackle and right guard. So maybe that's why he's getting a look. Maybe we're reading. Maybe he's just letting Hills going to, sink himself here.
Yeah, I mean, the guy's been, I remember I talked to him a couple times during that week where the re-signed guys didn't go back to practice yet. And he talked about how he knew what an important camp this was for him, and that he had committed himself during the offseason. He knows that he has to get better. I mean, if you line him and Legurski up next to each other, you're like, how in the heck is Legurski beating this guy out? But, I mean, Doug does some things. He's fundamentally sound. He doesn't make a lot of mistakes. And Tony, I don't want to say he's underachieved, but, I mean, at this point, his fourth year, he really should have – you would have thought maybe – had that breakthrough, and there's so many injuries recently that you would have in the last couple of years, you would have thought that he could have kind of stepped in and made a name for himself. Hasn't been able to do that yet. And certainly if the Eagles defense plays, as well as it typically does, he's going to have an opportunity to show whether he can do it against a quality opponent or not.
Yeah, that's a good point. And we'll definitely be watching that Thursday night against the Eagles. Back to the Tyler Grisham thing that you mentioned there. I've kind of got a theory on this, and I don't know. Did Arnaz Battle practice today? Was he working today?
Yes, he did.
Okay, well, my kind of theory on this is that if indeed Emmanuel Sanders is healthy or will be healthy by week one, I heard a tweet today that William Gay and Keenan Lewis were working as the outside gunners, normally a spot that I think Arnaz Battle holds down, and really the only way Arnaz Battle was going to make the roster. And I kind of theorize that maybe the Steelers, with the addition of Cotri now, maybe they're going to hold only five receivers instead of six. And with Curtis Brown looking like he might be able to contribute on special teams, I hate to say it, even though Tyler Grisham, I love the kid. I've been in his corner for a long time. I just don't see a roster space for him unless indeed, Sanders is not ready by week one.
I think you're right, but I think, it depends. It's so hard to predict. When you still got 90 guys on the roster, it's hard to project that where that depth chart's going to come from. You still got three games for guys to get hurt.
True.
I think Emmanuel's progress has been maybe slower than they anticipated, I think. He's a guy who obviously wants to play. I think you need six, personally, especially when you got, a 35, 36-year-old guy who is coming off thumb surgery. And look, Hines is one of the toughest players in the league, has been for 10 years, but you got to wonder when the mileage is going to start really, getting up there on. I think they need that safety. They can't make Tyler a practice squad player. He's been a practice squad player for 2 years, so he's either got to make the team or go somewhere else. And I think that I think Mike really likes him, and I can see them. I understand what you're saying, but I can see him maybe sticking around, although you're right. I mean, Cotchery sort of makes both him and Battle expendable, especially if Curtis and Will Gay and Keenan can make those plays on the outside on punt return. So, and they were on the punt team. So, yeah, I don't know. It's just, you know, we were talking about it today. You know, one of the things that strikes me about this league and these players, talking about player safety and health and all that stuff, you know, there's one easy way to sort of fix that: make the rosters bigger. And they didn't want to do that because they didn't want to divvy up the pie. I think easily, especially on a year like this, I think you could carry 60 guys on a roster, you know, and maybe that's something that they should look at down the road. And that's just me. I didn't mean to get off topic there, but that was just me sort of philosophizing.
I definitely agree with you. You know, I think, in fact, we kind of talked about this on our podcast over the course of the lockout that, you know, maybe they would think, you know, with all these worries about safety and all like that, that maybe it would be in the best interest for them to expand the roster by about two or three guys. Also, you're providing two or three more paying jobs for these guys in addition, and you have to know the players' union would be in favor of that. But that's a good point. And the thing, have you noticed when Tyler's in on special teams or when they work on special teams, is he just basically taking returns as far as return team, or is he actually working in the coverages anything outside of actually returning the ball?
You know, Dave, I wish I could tell you that, because they do so few, they don't really go live when they do that stuff. I can't tell you that I'm paying 100% attention. I'm more always trying to look for something else, maybe what the starters are doing, what the skill guys are doing during this, because I consider that sort of downtime. I wish I could give you a better answer, but I'm not going to tell you that I've seen 19 out there on the return teams in any other position other than returning the kicks. The thing is, he is an athlete. He's a tough kid. I think some guys are pulling for him. I think he's earned the respect of these guys. He's probably on the outside looking in, but I still think, I mentioned a second ago, I think with the depth that they could have at receiver. I mean, you got little guys get hurt. The guy that we're not even talking about is obviously Lyman Sweet, who actually was on the field today. You had Texas on Texas there for a little bit, and on that sort of series there, where Curtis Brown, I thought, made a couple of really nice plays. He was on Limas both times. Although I would say the Limas didn't do anything to necessarily hurt himself, I think that, he'll be here for a couple more weeks, and I just don't see any scenario where a guy like that sticks around, which is unfortunate because he's got all the talent in the world and it just hasn't worked for him.
Yeah, I agree with you, and everybody rooted for him for the longest time. I cut bait with him pretty much a long time ago. For those just wondering, I'm talking with Will Graves, the AP sports writer for Pittsburgh. You read his stuff all the time, syndicated throughout all the papers and on Yahoo and all like that as well. Did you get to see Ike Taylor when he arrived today after surgery? supposedly that was a sight to hear him talk today.
He was, I wish I had audio of it because he he kind of joked that he was still feeling the effects of the anesthesia, but I'm pretty sure he was. They cut it short. I think he did it a minute and 40 seconds. And Ike is a colorful guy.
Right.
He likes to kid around. You're not really sure sometimes when he's been being serious and when he's not. But I'm pretty sure he was feeling pretty good when he came in. And I tweeted this earlier, like I said, the only time I ever got knocked out for something, I got my wisdom teeth out like 8-9 years ago, and they put me under for an hour. I came up, I went to the grocery store with my buddy.
I think I lost you there, Will. Are you there?
Sorry.
Okay, go ahead.
Anyway, I was just talking, I was talking about Ike. I mean, the guy, it says something, dedication, that a guy like that, he didn't have to be there today.
Right.
There's no reason at all for him to be there. And he showed up and he was there in time for lunch. He went through meetings. He was out there on the sidelines in his cast during practice. He was interacting with guys. And, you know, you talk about the kind of example that you want your leaders to set. You know, I think that's that speaks perfectly to sort of the mindset of this defense, of this secondary. I mean, the story that I'm working on today is sort of, I mean, you've got basically, I mean, you've got a veteran secondary, but one that's not that young. And the last time anybody saw him play, they did not play real well. And, you know, but rather than to go out and get a Nnamdi Asamoah, you know, what do? They re-signed Ike. They brought back William Gay. And they kind of said, look, we're good with the guys that we have. And, you know, and Troy today said, look, we might not be the most athletic group, but because we play together so long, I think that makes up for whatever step that people might think that we're missing. So, you know, and I think what Ike does sort of speaks to that. I mean, you know, Curtis Brown told me a story today about how he had to get up and sing last night at dinner, and he's not good. I mean, he's like American Idol, William Hung, kind of bad, kind of basically what he said. And he said that he was struggling with the notes. He was shy and self-conscious. And what happened, the other DBs joined in with him and helped him kind of get through it. And that, you know, that speaks to the closeness of that unit. And I think Ike being there is sort of just, you know, part and parcel of that. I think that's, you know, he wanted to show that he was, that nobody is above getting out of meetings and getting out of camp if they can help it.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, Ike's always been an iron man, and Mike Tomlin praised him as much today in his press conference, and I was so glad to see him re-sign because I think, A, it had to be done. I mean, he's the best corner that they have and knows the system, and B, he's a great example for the young players on the roster and can pass along some of his expertise in these final years under contract. What about Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde today, Cameron Hayward? Evidently, they're having to tell this kid to kind of tone it down a little bit, as he was wanting to pick fights with Jonathan Scott, Ramon Foster, and evidently Marcus Gilbert today. Have you heard any rumblings about that?
Yeah, no, and he kind of talked, you know, he kind of talked a little bit today about how he needs to maybe get his emotions under control. But, you know, like I think I wanted to talk to you last week, he had mixed it up with Scott. You know, he's mixed it up with Ramon. You know, he's a guy, look, he's got a high motor, like the guys say, he plays with some intensity. I think he feels like he's got something to prove. I mean, and look at the guys that he is playing, you know, either behind or next to. Those are some tough dudes.
Yeah.
and I think that there is some pressure to for him to kind of come in there and to show them that he is going to fight. Now, you know, I think he needs to know that he's not going to get cut, that if he doesn't have a great day of practice, doesn't mean that he's not going to get back at it the next day. I mean, those guys across from him are getting paid too. But you like the intensity, and, you know, I think I mentioned to you that I'm surprised at how few dust-ups there actually are. You know, I'm glad somebody's fighting.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, somebody asked me a question on Twitter today, well, you know, why they look so bad on Friday. I think, you know, when you have a veteran team, when you've got a, you know, you and I are talking about who's the fifth or sixth receiver, who's the fifth running back, you know, who's going to be the backup, you know, the swing guys on the offensive line. These are not critical questions in terms of the team's, you know, on-field success this year. So I think when you have that happen, I think you're going to have sort of this, I want to say a lack of intensity, but I think guys are sort of settled and they know when to turn it on. So, but I'm glad to see that Cam is the guy that's in there trying to, you know, to spike it up and just, I'm sorry, to spark it up a little bit. And I think that I'm sure that, you know, Aaron Smith and, you know, Casey and those guys probably get a good laugh out of it. You know, but I think it's good to see too. I think it, you know, you need a little bit of that in camp. And, you know, I'm not saying that this is like the minimum security prison here where everybody's like playing shuffleboard, but, you know, it's, you know, and that wasn't the best metaphor in the world. But Club Med, for example, maybe that's a better metaphor. But I think it's good. It's good to see that, you know, somebody is, you know, out there trying to mix it up. And, you know, I think Cam will learn to kind of keep his emotions under control and, you know, when the whistle's over to kind of play to it. And maybe, who knows? I mean, maybe those guys are doing something to get under his skin. Maybe it didn't happen that way at Ohio State, and maybe it's just part of the – you know, the learning process, making that jump from college to the NFL.
Yeah, that's good info, and I'm with you. As long as he doesn't do the Chris Kimoatu stupid penalties during the game, I'm totally fine with somebody letting the hair on their neck stand up like that. A couple of two more quick things before I get you out of here, Will. James Harrison, Troy Polamalu are scheduled to play, evidently, according to Tomlin, on Thursday. Have they looked okay running around out there, especially today?
Yeah, you know, I watched them both. You know, I'm going to say that James is, and Troy are both still sort of just revving their engines a little bit. You know, you'll see them, and I'm not saying that they're not playing hard, but they're definitely sort of playing efficiently, I guess, is the best way to go. I mean, Troy said that he's admitted today that he's only really gone, you know, full speed on that, you know, sporadically at best. I mean, he's sort of just kind of, but he talked about it at the same time, you know, as he said that, he said, look, I feel as good as I felt in quite a long time. So, and James the same way. I mean, those guys, look, you know what they're going to get on when it really counts. And, you know, you don't want them, you know, getting hurt in preseason when they don't have to. Their guy's got a lot of miles on him. I mean, James's condition, you know, look, his back, his legs, I mean, the nerve stuff he's got going on, that is not going to go away. There's not a pill for that. There's not a rehab. There's no therapy for that. That's something that he's going to have to deal with. And, you know, with Troy with the Achilles, I mean, that's something, you know, you don't see a lot of repeat Achilles injuries, but what you see is you see guys when they're trying to compensate for that, kind of injure something else. I think Troy's being very aware of that and trying not to to do anything stupid. But they're out there. I can't say that I saw them in the middle of plays today. But I'm sure that, you know, when they're out there for the 20 to 25 plays, which is what Tomlin prescribed for the first unit today, I'm sure you're going to see them going, I would say, between 90 to 95%.
All right, that's good info. Morty Ivey, you keep hearing his name pop up here. I mean, I don't think there's room on the 53 for him, but he's definitely looking like he could be practice squad material. Can you give me a quick, maybe, you know, two or three, you know, sentence or a paragraph about what you're seeing out of him?
Well, look, you know, I've always kind of been a fan of his, but you look at you do the numbers there and you just kind of wonder how is this, you know, how are they going to find room for him? But I think they like him. And I think when you've got some guys at that position with some, you know, some wear on the tires, that you want to have somebody available that knows the system that you can bring in and maybe make an impact if you need them to. And I think Morty's pretty realistic about his expectations, and, you know, maybe practice squad is the best way to go for him now. But I think that he could, you know, at the same time, I think if they cut him, I think he could get picked up somewhere else. And maybe that's sort of the fear, you know, because I think he does have that kind of talent.
Well, that's good info. Well, you're my final guy. You're going to close it out here for us on our training camp at the Steelers Depot reports and all like that. Can you sum up your three top observations from the Steelers' 2011 training camp for me?
Lack of, you know, just the strangeness of it, from the lockout ending so sort of swiftly to having that week where guys were re-signing but couldn't play, you know, to only having one full contact practice a day. It is certainly you know, different. And it certainly is my first, you know, camp covering the team, certainly maybe different than I anticipated. But I think that at the same time, I think, especially for a group like this, I think that, you know, some of these rules will only benefit the Steelers down the road. Second thing, you know, is sort of, and I just mentioned it a minute ago, there has been sort of a lack of, you know, I don't want to say intensity, but, you know, except for the goal line drills that they do, there hasn't been that sort of, it's almost like these guys kind of know that they're, I won't say they're saving it, but they're locked in. I mean, you look at that roster, you talked about the 53 that you put together. I mean, I'm sure right now we could go through and we could get 50 pretty easy, and we could maybe have an argument over the last three. And I think that sort of has led to, I don't want to say like sort of a going through the motions thing, but there has been some of that at times. And you see guys, except for in rare occasions when you see guys like Ryan Clark trying to, you know, stir the pot a little bit and get things going. You know, the other thing is Mike Tomlin is it's not the most touchy-feely coach in the league. you know, this is my first, like I said, my first camp with him, and it's, you know, I came from covering college basketball in Kentucky, and, you know, I had John Calipari and Rick Pitino, who will only be happy to talk for as long as you'll let them, and to have Mike to be a little bit more clip in his answers is a bit of a shock for me. But I think at the same time, you know, I've gotten a real respect for the way that his players respect him. And, you know, I remember when he got the job, and this is me being the casual observer, you know, when he got the job a few years ago, I was like, God, this guy's like a year older than I am. He's got, you know, he's a head coach in the NFL. What the heck? And obviously he's had success. And this is a, you know, this is going to be an interesting year for them. I mean, I think that, you know, this is sort of the last real shot for some of these guys. You know, the Aaron Smiths and the Hokes and James Harrisons. And I mean, obviously Troy is young, but the way that he plays, can he continue to play at that level for how much longer without his body to train him? So I think they understand how special a year this is for them. I think they're still sort of in shock about what happened in Texas. And I think they're determined, but at the same time, I think that they're professional enough to know that, you know, they're not going to go crazy in camp. I would expect you to see them play better on Thursday, the first unit. But again, if they don't play that well, I don't think it's going to be, you know, panic. You're not going to find people, you know, on the Fort Pitt Bridge, you know, holding up signs. You know, I think that the camp has been understated. It's been weird. I think everybody's trying to be careful with the new rules and trying not to push themselves, knowing what's at stake down the road. And, you know, Mike was asked to evaluate today how camp's going. He said, you know what, camp is evaluated. How the camp was is evaluated by how good the season was.
Right.
And I think that's really what we're going to find out in November and December. If everybody's healthy, you know, I think we'll be talking about, well, what a great thing for them that these new rules were in place so they could limit their practice time. And, you know, everybody's, James is healthy, and Troy is healthy, and Ben is healthy, and the line is healthy. And if that happens, you know, I mean, there's no reason to think that these guys aren't going to be right there again when it comes down to it in late January.
Will, I tell you, you say that this is your first Steelers training camp. I wouldn't know it, and I don't think my listeners would be able to tell it either. And let me tell you, I try to tell all these guys, all the media guys that come on with me for these updates and all, these Twitter updates that you guys do are a lifeline to fans to the training camp, and I think all you guys have done a great job embracing that, embracing the new social media and all, and reaching out to fans as well and bloggers like myself. And I want you to know that it's very appreciated as well. And I look forward to having you on again as we progress through the season and all. And I want to thank you for joining me again, especially on this last day of training camp.
No problem, Dave. Take care, buddy.
All right.